This is Mitch Lowry, and you are listening to the Fully Fit Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you haven't listened to this podcast before and this is your first episode, you're in for a treat because it's just me talking today. If you have tuned into this episode or this show before and this is not your first episode, this will be unlike a lot of the ones that you've listened to because I am going to be doing all of the talking versus having a guest on the show. So hope you guys enjoy this episode today, and we're going to dive in right now. All right, guys. So I've been away for a little while, and I know that you guys have probably been like, where is this show? I thought he was doing it every week, and now all of a sudden he's not. And that's because when life gets busy, you have to prioritize what's important and what's not. And you have to be able to just accept not doing certain things that are not high on your priority list. For me, I've had a really busy couple of weeks here. I've been doing some awesome things, and I've just had some life stuff going on as well that they just are limiting my time that I have available to be able to do things like this that are more so for fun and more so for education. So one of those things is I've been looking for a new apartment and a new place to live, and thankfully have found a place, but not finding things at first and having to go look around at a lot of different places that just took up a lot of free time. For those of you that don't know, I've been doing what's called the Active Life Immersion Course, and what that is essentially a 12-week program with Active Life, especially Dr. Ray, but also Dr. Sean and Dr. Ryan as well, who works at Pure Physio here in Cleveland. What it is a 12-week program to basically help coaches like myself be able to help people like you get out of pain and become better people, like just all around, from a movement standpoint, from a pain standpoint, all that kind of stuff. So that's been taking up a lot of time, but what's been coming from that has been me, I guess I'll say officially, starting to work remotely and individually with people in a programming sense. So I have my first few clients already that I'm working with, and I'm looking for more if you guys are interested in it. Essentially what I can do is, A, if you are experiencing pain or if you are experiencing restrictions of any sort during your workouts that you're like, I just don't know how to train around these, I don't know how to improve on this, talk to me and we can work on something. I'm really passionate about helping people get back to where they once were, if not excelling past that and being able to do things that they never thought they'd be able to do. I'm also working on individualized programming, so being able to program for people based upon their goals and their needs. Definitely taking some of the mobility and pain things in mind, but being able to give people programs that they really love and really enjoy and help them feel really great about what they're doing. And also getting them the results they're looking for. You know, we're all in this exercise world to look better and feel better and be better humans. And so my programming is based around that. You know, it's not complicated and it's not something that you are going to be dying from every day. It's just good work. Essentially, it's stuff that's going to make you feel good, stuff that's going to get you results. And, I like to put my own personal twist on a lot of different things, and hopefully that's something that you guys would be interested in. So, if you're interested in working with me as a programmer or just as a one-on-one coach, reach out to me via email. You can email me at mitch@traincetown.com. If you have my number, you can shoot me a text and let me know. And then also you can reach out to me on Instagram, shoot me a little message at @fullyfitcoach and let me know you're interested. So today's episode is going to be on two topics, and they're two topics that I'm super, super, super passionate about. And I hope that you guys can take something away from. Actually, that's a lie. I know you guys will take something away from this because it's such good stuff. And I'm really excited to talk about it. So the topic of conversation today is health versus fitness and performance, and how much is too much. And so I just want to start off by saying you know, when I got into CrossFit and into working out and everything, I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew so much. And I was like, man, I can't wait to be a coach. I can't wait to get into this stuff and help people. And, you know, here I am over 5 years later, and I've just scratched the surface. I feel like it feels like every day I learn something new that is so simple, but is also so just mind blowing at how awesome it is. And today's topics are going to basically be something like that for you, hopefully, where you'll know this stuff, but whenever we put it together in a nice small little package, you're going to walk away from it and be like, holy crap, I didn't even think of it like that before. So, you know, the first thing that I want to talk about is just what we're at the gym for, right? We all go to the gym. We all go there for the same reason. We want to look better, feel better, move better, live better, something inside of that better circle, right? I don't know anybody that goes to the gym and says, I want to feel worse, or I want to look worse than I do right now, right? Like, we all want to improve in some capacity. And so I just want to say, if you're going to the gym right now, you're doing something good for yourself. That is a great place to be, and you're making the right choice. However, what has happened over the years is we've kind of blurred the lines between competition and health, and like what those two things really mean. And why they can be so detrimental to you as a person if you're viewing your workouts as the wrong kind, right? And so first things first, health is a topic that a lot of people, you know, they throw that term out and they don't quite understand like what that can mean. So, you know, for me, whenever I hear the word health, I think of things like biomarkers of how we are as humans. So things like blood pressure, things like our body fat percentage, things like, you know, our heart rates, all of that kind of stuff. You know, the definition of health itself is literally just the state of being free from illness or injury. And so when I say I want to be healthy, it's me saying I don't want to be sick and I don't want to be injured, right? That you could also look at that from a mental health standpoint. You could look at it from a spiritual health standpoint. There's a ton of things that could be going into that, right? But what health means is that you're at a good standing point with where you're at. Now, competition and performance are on the other end, where that is now not even looking at our body, that's looking at how our body performs. So disregard your body fat percentage, disregard how much you weigh, disregard what your blood pressure is. How much weight can you pick up from the ground and how fast can you do that, right? Like, those are data points for performance and competition, and it doesn't take our individual bodies into account for that. So one of the things that I'm really passionate about is, you know, a lot of people come into CrossFit for their first year and they come in and they have such great intentions. They say, you know, I want to get healthy. I want to lose some weight. I want to feel better. I want to have more energy at work. And I just want to, I want to lead a good life. You know, it's time for me to make a switch, and I just want to lead a healthier life. Awesome. I love it. And when people tell me that, I know that they're coming from a sincere place, right? What happens though is over the course of a couple of months, they get into this thing called CrossFit and they start to get their ego involved because they don't understand how the difference of health and competition needs to be separated, right? So for instance, we'll use Johnny as an example. Johnny comes into CrossFit, he just wants to be healthy. You know, he's 50 pounds overweight, but he used to be a college athlete, so he, you know, he has a past history of performing, movement and everything like that. You know, he's lost some weight since he got started at the gym, but he's also started to pick up a lot of weight, kind of show off in front of the class because he's a little bit stronger than everybody else. And so, you know, when it comes time for a workout like Diane, which is 21:15:9 of deadlifts and handstand pushups, maybe he has to scale the handstand pushups, but you know, the deadlifts, oh, I'm doing the RX weight, which is, you know, it's, I'm doing the 225. There's no way I'm not doing 225. But is that what's best for Johnny's body? Well, how would we know? How do we know that? We don't. But what we have to look at is, you know, why is Johnny there? Well, if he told me that he's there for health and now he's viewing competition as his main priority, then we've got a mixed signal there and there's some miscommunication that's happening, right? So what I hope to get into right here is just a little bit of a common ground of like what we as people need, so that you guys can really take this away and be like, oh, like I need this first before I even need this, right? So as humans, we have a hierarchy of needs from a workout and movement standpoint, right? That hierarchy of needs is going to be, A, we have to have the range of motion to be able to move throughout that range, right? So if my ankle doesn't move at all, it's going to be hard for me to run and jump rope if I can't move my ankle, right? So to have the flexibility first, which is passive, and then to have the mobility second, which is active, right? So let's think of, say, like a, if you're lying on the ground on your stomach and you raise your hand up overhead and it's on the ground, but then you lift your arm up off of the ground and keep your arm straight and everything, that would be active. So that's having active mobility. Flexibility is just you being able to move the joint towards the ground at full range of motion and stuff, right? So being able to like touch your toes or things like that. So having those types of ranges of motion are the first step if we're looking at movement, okay? Now we go to strength balance, which is basically how well our muscles are balanced around the joints. So I'll use the example of our shoulder, right? So our shoulder, we can do a lot of things with our shoulders. We can do ring rows, bent over rows, pull-ups, shoulder presses, bench presses. There's a lot of different angles that the shoulder can move at, but let's just use a really simple one, which would be the shoulder press, which is just pressing something up over your head, and then a high pull, which is just pulling your hand from your pocket to your armpit, basically. Right now, if I have a really, really, really strong press and I have a really weak high pull, that means that my shoulder joint is out of balance, right? And what that means is there could be a potential for injury there because I might be compensating for muscles that shouldn't be getting involved as much, might be pulling or pushing from the wrong places, and I might just have a weakness that over time can't support the load of what I'm putting the load or of the load that I'm putting on my shoulder joint, right? So this is where the fun part begins for me is like, let's say an athlete does have full range of motion, you know, they can press overhead comfortably, they can pull really easily and everything like that. But say their shoulder ratio is, you know, they really, really, really put up a lot of weight with their press, but their high pull is really, really, really weak. Well, now if we look at their programming and we see that there's pressing in their programming 3 times a week, we know that that's not going to get them better. That's actually going to get them worse because that's going to lead to more potential for injury. So what we have to do is we have to look at that and say, okay, this might not make sense for you. Let's do this instead, where we do more pulling exercises instead of pressing exercises. And now that strength balance starts to balance out over time. Right? That is what we are looking for, is to have balanced joints within the body so that there is constant symmetry occurring in every joint, right? Another example is you could look at your deadlift and your squat. If you have a really heavy deadlift and a really weak squat, that's probably a sign that we need to look at that ratio and see what's going on there, right? Again, if you are deadlifting 3 times a week and you're not really squatting in your programming, but you have a high deadlift to squat ratio, then what we need to do is intervene and start to mix in more squatting and less pulling, right? We want that to be balanced over time because that could lead to injury having that imbalance. So having that strength balance is super, super important. But first, like I said before, we have to have the range of motion to be able to go into these places to earn the strength of that place, okay? Last but not least, then we have volume and recovery balance. Now, this is the one that's going to take us back into the like health versus competition side of things. So what you have to look at is essentially the volume of work that you're doing across the week and how much recovery you're doing for that volume, right? So volume increase, meaning that you're doing more work, it's going to mean that there's a stress increase, which has to equal more recovery. So let's just say I work out 2 times a week right now, and I start working out 4 times a week. Well, that's a doubled increase in volume right off the rip, which means that my stress on my body is going to double. So what we can think of recovery as here, and I'm going to jump into something here shortly that'll kind of piece this a little bit more together. But what we can think of recovery as here is our sleep, our diet, and our stress, right? Like managing those three things. The more that we can do that, the better that stress on the body is interpreted and can lead to progress. Now, if we increase our volume and we don't increase our recovery, what happens then is that volume to recovery balance is thrown out of whack. And now I have more stress being added to my body that is not being properly taken care of. What that can amount to over time is burnout, overtraining, injury, things of that nature, right? And we don't want to see that. So we want to have that balance between how much we're doing and how much we're recovering. Decreased volume calls for decreased stress. So say you've been working out 6 times a week and you all of a sudden take it down to like 2 days a week. Well, now you've just taken your stress down a ton. You've 3 times that amount taken it down, right? So that calls for less recovery. That means that we don't need as much food. We need good sleep still, but our stress is very low. So that's going to decrease that amount over time. And that's a good thing for us. That means that we have the ability to play with stress based on what we need to do in the moment. Okay. So imagine that we have a little building block system, right? And that building block system is starting on the ground. And let's just say on a chart, there's a 3-dimensional chart here that we're going to lay out. There's a certain level, which is your capacity. Okay. So you have your first block, which would be consisting of like pre-existing load. So you can think of like anatomical defects. You can think of like muscle strains. You can think of torn labrums, like anything that you're coming into the day with that you can't change, right? Like let's say, for instance, you tore a hamstring 6 months ago. You're still coming off of that injury. You can't just come into the day and say, well, I don't have a torn hamstring. Like you've had that. You can't change that. So you're coming into the day with that example. And that isn't going to change. So the height of that box is determined off of how much pre-existing load you have coming into that day of training, right? Now, if you've never been injured, if you've barely ever, you know, worked out or anything like that, you're not sick in any way, that's going to make that pre-existing load a lot lower, but still is going to have some height to it no matter what, right? The second block is going to be what's called your SDS, or your recovery strategies, which is diet, sleep, and stress, okay? Diet is looking at a lot of different things, but it's looking at essentially how many calories are we bringing in and what is the quality of those calories. So yeah, first off, energy in, energy out. That's where it starts, right? That's not the end all be all, but that is where we start at. If you are working out a ton and you're not eating enough food, that is not a good thing. Your body is gonna not like that. So we need to eat food in alignment with how much training we're doing. Okay. Now, on top of that, if we are not sleeping adequately, our body is going to increase our stress, right? There's going to be more stress to our system. We're going to be running on empty. Hence when people start drinking more coffee and, you know, taking energy drinks and all these different crazy things just to get through the day, when really it's just, hey, if you got more sleep, you'd be okay, right? You know, everybody has their different amounts of how much sleep you should get. Somewhere in that 6 to 8 hour range is going to be what most people can do with. I know the more that you get, the better. So like 7 to 8 is going to be way better for you than 6 hours of sleep is going to be. But it also depends on the quality too. So like if you can get 6 hours of quality sleep at night and wake up and feel good versus 7 hours of tossing and turning, well, then that's probably better for you, right? So just, you know, getting more sleep is going to be a good recovery strategy. Also managing your stress. Are you doing anything to actively manage your stress, or are you just simply floating through the day, super stressed, and just going to bed at night, super stressed and super anxious, terrified to wake up the next day, terrified to take on the day because you're just like so stressed out and you just want to yell at somebody, right? Like that's not a good sign. That means that block is going to be bigger and bigger than it needs to be. So are we actively doing things like yoga? Are we meditating? Are we going for walks outside? Are we, you know, just taking time to breathe and think in our own mind instead of being on our phones comparing ourselves to everybody else, right? There's so many things that can go into your stress management that it's just taking time to be active about it, okay? So based on how much food you're eating and what type of food you're eating, the amount of sleep you're getting, and how well you're managing your stress, that block could be smaller or bigger, right? Now, what that leaves room for between the capacity line and your other blocks that we've just laid down is going to be things that are like what you need and what you want, right? So, you know, things like I want to do Fran, I want to deadlift 500 pounds, I want to do a marathon, whatever it may be, right? Here's the thing. Those first two blocks that we talked about, the bigger that those blocks are, the less room that that leaves for those things like a 5K to be in between your capacity and those blocks, right? So what happens is, say we're really stressed, say we're not eating well, and say we're not sleeping well, say we come into the day with pre-existing, you know, like we have a tweaked muscle, we have a joint that's kind of beat up, we're not really, you know, maybe it's my knee. My knee's been killing me for a couple weeks. I don't know what's happening, but, you know, I know that it's hurting. Our room for what we're going to be able to handle up to our capacity just got a lot smaller than if we came into the day, you know, maybe even if we did have that knee injury going on, that's like that's there. But what if we had no stress or little stress? We were eating well, we were eating enough food, eating the right kind of quality, and we were getting 7 hours of sleep a night. Well, if we were doing that, those blocks would be a lot shorter and would leave a lot more room in between that and our capacity to be able to have fun with movement, right? So what happens is, say, you know, you're running your 5K, you get like, you know, 1 mile into it and your knee starts killing you. Well, what just happened is your body just reached its stress capacity. It was just like, dude, I'm done. You're trying to push past this capacity mark, and I'm not going to allow that to happen, right? A lot of times we think that it's in that moment that that is what caused the injury, or that is what caused the pain that we're experiencing. But your body's been telling you for a long time, hey, I don't like what we're doing right now, and I need you to back it down because what we're doing is actually making this worse. Right? So here's the thing. If we're working on our recovery strategies, our body's going to be happy, right? So that is why when we sit down with clients, we, you know, a lot of times are like, how well are you sleeping? How are you managing your stress? What are you eating? Those aren't just questions to like ask you guys and see if you're doing stuff wrong. It's literally because those three things right there can make such a big impact on your gym experience that now that's what changes the game, right? So if you can't do XYZ in the gym, well, it might not be because you can't do it. It might be because you're too stressed, and we need to bring that stress down. Then and only then, once that stress has been managed, now we can actually look at having more fun and being able to do that movement or do those things that you want to do, right? So, you know, it really what it comes down to is just moderation is the most difficult problem, right? We cannot go 100% every day. We can't push to our capacity limit every single day. And, you know, a lot of people are just busy trying to be something that they're not. You know, we're trying to you know, be a CrossFit Games athlete, and we're trying to push ourselves to the absolute hardest level because that's what social media tells us we have to do, right? If you're posting an Instagram video of you doing a half-ass workout, probably not going to get a lot of likes, right? You might have a friend or two that's like, oh, good job, I'm so happy you're moving or whatever. But realistically, nobody cares about that, right? It's not sexy. What is sexy is like Katrin David's daughter, Brooke Wells, doing a crazy hard workout and then laying on the floor after because they just crush their bodies, right? That's what people love to see. The problem is if we do that every day, we're going to eventually reach a point where we have no room in between our blocks and capacity, right? And that threshold is going to be so hard to beat, right? So that, I mean, that in its own takes care of like 99% of people, right? Like myself included. If you're having problems and you're like, I don't know what to do, look at your diet, sleep, and stress, and you're probably going to make some improvements in some capacity, right? Now, I kind of got off topic a little bit, but it's going to bring us right back in. So, you know, if you're recovering well with those things and your volume is managed really well and, you know, you have balanced strength and you have full range of motion and all that stuff, now we can express movement as skill, right? We can start to add appropriate load. We can start to, you know, move in ways that our body allows us to move. And that's really like, that's where the fun stuff is, right? Like overhead squatting and muscle ups and all these things. But what people see is that we just do those movements because we can do them, but they don't understand that those movements are earned, right? So when people come into CrossFit and they see people doing like handstand pushups and muscle ups and all these things, they're neglecting all of those prior things that we just mentioned. And they're just looking at, wow, that person can do it, why can't I, right? So with that being said, there's just gonna come a time where you're gonna be at different points of that timeline of hierarchy of needs, right? Like you might be at a point right now where we have to take you back down to your mobility and work on your mobility just to be able to access the types of movements that you want to do, right? Like I used the example before, maybe your ankle is locked up. And what do you know? You have knee pain. Well, yeah, because your knee is taking more of the load than your ankle joint is allowing it to relieve itself from. So now you're experiencing knee pain because your ankle is stiff, right? So what do we need to do? We need to loosen up that ankle, give that knee some relief, and be able to start working our way back to a healthy, moving lower extremity. You know, once then we've established the mobility, though, we also have to have the strength. So is that ankle joint strong or is it just loose, right? If it's just mobile and it's not strong, that's also a recipe for disaster. So we have to strengthen it at the same time. And then now, are we loading it appropriately, right? So now we've loosened that ankle up. The knee's not really feeling as bad. But if we start running every single day, that pain starts to come back. Okay, well, maybe that's because we overloaded that joint too early and we're now not recovering well enough for it, right? So it's really just it's a flow, right? We always have to constantly assess where we're at and kind of go from there based on whether or not we should be doing movements or you know, whether or not that makes sense for us right now. Now, that kind of takes me to the other part of that topic of what we were originally setting out to get to, which is, how much is too much? And you know, the main thing about how much is too much is it's a safety issue. You know, a lot of times we think of safety issues as being something that we can immediately sense whether it's safe or not. And a lot of times with exercise, that's not the case, right? So that's why we have coaches. That's literally why I walk around at 5:30 a.m. every single morning and coach a class. My eyes are on each one of the athletes in that class, making sure that their movement is safe, right? Yeah, everybody's gonna have a little breakdown in form if they're really tired and, you know, if they're exhausting themselves to that point. And that's where I need to step in and say, hey, keep going, you're doing great. I need you to keep your chest up on your squats. Or if they can't even demonstrate that and it's starting to become a rounding back and they're unable to keep it straight. Now that's not safe, right? That's not safe for them to be doing. Now that's where I have to step in and say, hey, this isn't really going the way that we want it to go. Let's moderate it back down to this level and see if we can do it there, right? So how much is too much? It's simply when pain becomes a problem, okay? So if something is safe, but it's hard, that's good. That means it's a good stress on the body. We're able to do it, but we're not doing it in a way that's like jeopardizing to our safety. Now, if it's unsafe, if it's something that could result in potentially moving us closer towards injury, that is where we really need to back away from, right? Again, going back to that capacity. Does our body have the capacity to be able to do that movement? And if it doesn't, we don't want to do that because it's overstressing the system, right? So all of that basically to say, if you're feeling pain, that's not good. And if you're not, if you want to just be in the gym for health, you have to understand that pain is your body's way of saying, bro, stop doing what you're doing. I don't want to get hurt. I want to keep moving well and be safe, but you keep pushing me past my limit. So if you're feeling pain in any area of your body routinely or in workouts or anything like that, that is something that you need to talk to a coach about, because that is something that could potentially lead to a lot of harm. Now, if you're moving through your day with workouts and with, you know, activities outside of workouts and stuff, and you're not feeling pain, right on, dude. That's awesome. That's a good thing. That means you're not yet overly stressed to the point where you're going to experience an injury. However, that doesn't mean that you're not on your way there, right? That is why coaching is so important, is because we can actually help people to see, like, hey, if you keep doing things the way that you're doing them, you might not be feeling pain right now, but long term down the road, you may experience an injury that actually could sideline you for a while. It's like, well, I don't want to do that. It's like, I don't want you to do that either. So I want you to be safe, and I want you to do things in a progressive manner that's going to keep you getting better, not something for an ego point that's going to, you know, make you feel good for a day and then tomorrow is gone like the wind, right? So, I mean, I know I've been kind of going on a ramble, and, you know, I wanted to keep this short, but, you know, essentially what I wanted to do was talk you guys through that stuff to be able to say, if you're going to the gym day in and day out because you want to be healthier, look better, feel better, move better, have a better quality of life, anything like that, then what we have to recognize is that there's more that goes into this fitness thing than just coming in and doing a workout. There is a lot of stuff that involves somebody with an education who can point these things out to you, who can say, hey, you know, Johnny, your knee, it's hurting right now. Well, you got some mobility restrictions that we need to be working on, and you have some imbalances in the strength department that you need to be kind of increasing. How about we work together and, you know, fix those things up before we continue on with pounding it with intensity and volume? Does that sound like a good plan? Well, yeah, that sounds like a good plan, because that means that you're going to be healthy and you're going to be moving towards, you know, in a year doing the things that you want to do so that you are working out for the rest of your life. But if you continue to pound that ankle with intensity and disregard it, its pain and everything like that, well, now you're moving away from health and you're actually moving towards a place where you might not be able to do some of the things that you love doing now ever again, because you might push it past that limit, right? So we never want to see people get to that point. Competition stuff, if you're pushing your body to a place of competition, you are disregarding your body's sake of health. That's it. You are pushing your body to a limit that you are literally trying to see how much can my body do in whatever movement, sport, whatever it is, for the sake of that, for the sake of a leaderboard, for the sake of saying that you're the best, for the sake of saying you finished that workout the fastest. If that's what makes you sleep well at night, then I hope that you think about this. And this is from Ben Bergeron. He mentioned in a podcast recently, you know, when you're 90 or 100 or however old you are, and you're sitting there and you're looking back on your life and you're like, you know, was it worth it? Did I focus on the right things? Like, if you getting first place in a workout on some random day at your CrossFit gym is what you are thinking about on your deathbed, then I think you missed the point of life, bro. Like, seriously. Because on your deathbed, what you should be thinking about is how you impacted others, how you made people feel, and what you were able to bring into your life for happiness, right? Like, we all want to be happy. And seeking competition things, things on a leaderboard, trophies, whatever you call it, seeking validation or happiness through those things is going to ultimately lead us to a place where we are unhappy and we're missing joy. We're feeling empty. We're feeling lost. A great one to talk or to or a great episode that you guys could go and listen to is the episode I did with Carl, where, you know, he basically talks about from a time where he was chasing an Olympic medal, recognizing that, like, if he won it, like, then what? And he really didn't have a good answer, because he was just chasing it for the sake of chasing it. There was no long-term benefit to him winning that was going to do it for him. He wasn't going to seek any happiness or pleasure out of that. So, you know, for your guys' sake, I hope that what you can take away from this is not that I'm bashing sports in any way. If you love competing and everything, like, I get that, and that's awesome. But I hope that you do it for you, right? You can always look at your performance, your accomplishments, your ability to do things. That is where it's at, right? When you start comparing yourself on a leaderboard for the sake of that, that's where problems start to arise, especially with self-confidence and worth, right? So to wrap this up, because I know I'm going a little over 30 minutes here, you know, really what you don't want to do in this long game is try to play the short game. The short game being blow it out of the water every single day, go 100%, not take your body's health into consideration, and try and be the biggest badass that you can possibly be, right? If you're going to try and do that, you're not going to make it very long, right? But if you are genuinely interested in leading a better life, feeling better, moving better, being able to work out when you're 90 years old, if you enjoy that kind of stuff, then I ask you to simply take a step back and look at what you do every day in the gym and see, is this coming from a place of ego or from a place of I'm doing something because somebody else told me this is what I have to do? Or is this what you actually are wanting to do? And if the answer is not you are doing what you want to do, that is why I am here. I want to work with people like you. I want to help people like you be able to see that there's a better way that you can do things. But I do need you to come and talk to me about that. I don't know what you're feeling and I don't know where you're at, but if you talk to me about it, I can help you with that. Guys, I really appreciate you listening to this. I hope that you learned something from this, and I hope to do many more episodes like this, because I think that this is the stuff where you're going to really learn a lot, and I can really point people towards to be able to help you just kind of understand my brain more and also be able to potentially change your life in the better way. So again, I'm doing work with people. If you're interested in doing work with me, reach out to me. Outside of that, thank you guys, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, y'all. That was my first Q&A episode where I got to talk about what you guys are interested in. I am accepting any and all questions to be featured on the podcast to be able to do more episodes like this. So if you have a question that you'd like to have answered, shoot it over to me and tell me, Mitch, I want you to answer this on the podcast, and I'll see what I can do. All right. If you guys haven't already, subscribe, follow, leave a great rating on the podcast so it helps me and helps me to be able to reach more people. And follow me on Instagram, follow the podcast on Instagram, and look out for more episodes. All right, later, y'all.